Welcome to the Assisting Victims of Mortgage Fraud podcast series presented by the National Crime Prevention Council and the Office for Victims of Crime, U.S. Department of Justice. Thousands of people are victimized each year through mortgage fraud. Although new laws and protections have been implemented to address this issue, mortgage fraud schemes have been particularly resilient. They quickly adapt to changing economic conditions and modifications in lending practices. The latest mortgage fraud information from the FBI's website reports the following. 2012 losses included an estimated $13 billion in fraudulent residential mortgage originations. And according to FY12 mortgage fraud suspicious activity reports, 70,291 were reported with losses of $2.69 billion. In addition, states with significant mortgage fraud problems include Florida, Nevada, Arizona, Michigan, Rhode Island, Georgia, California, Illinois, New Jersey, and New York. And finally, there are 84 FBI mortgage fraud task forces and working groups. This podcast series invites experts from the field to discuss emerging trends, offer helpful information, and share true stories relating to mortgage fraud. My name is Angel Duff, and I work for the National Crime Prevention Council and will serve as your moderator today. Our goal is to offer resources to help you be more effective in your roles as victim service providers and counselors to victims of mortgage fraud. For more information on the National Crime Prevention Council and our work in mortgage fraud, please visit www.ncpc.org. In this podcast, we will gain a better understanding of mortgage fraud, how it continues to evolve in response to changing economic conditions, and how homeowners can protect against it. Our guest today is Cynthia Jelilich from Avira Global Strategies, a research and strategic communications consultancy. Avira Consultants recently conducted in-depth research on mortgage fraud, examining the trends, the new scams, their impact on victims, and how those victims can protect themselves. Cynthia is here to share some of her firm's findings. To give our listeners some background, can you please shed some light on how mortgage fraud contributed to the financial crisis of 2008?
Of course, and thank you for inviting us to speak on this issue that is affecting so many homeowners. I'd say that the first thing for your listeners to understand is that mortgage fraud is always evolving. Scam artists will find an opportunity in any situation to scam their victims. The event that led to the huge number of defaults and foreclosures in 2007 and 2008 was the result of a perfect storm of three factors: low interest rates on mortgages, an oversupply of new construction, and new forms of mortgages that required little or no money down, so millions of Americans bought homes they would not normally be able to afford. Let me explain. First, interest rates were low, so it cost less to take out a loan. As a result, financing a home became more affordable. New people entered the housing market. With more people buying homes, real estate prices naturally went up. Buyers continued to enter the market because they didn't want to lose out. As home prices continued to climb, it became a vicious cycle. Secondly, with prices of homes on the rise, builders constructed more homes because they wanted to get in and profit from the demand. Before long, the housing market was oversaturated. Third, banks and mortgage companies created new types of mortgages to encourage buyers to purchase a home. Some, like adjustable rate mortgages or ARMs, encouraged buyers to take on loans much larger than they could afford. A lot of those buyers assumed that they'd be able to sell or refinance their homes at a higher price later when the balloon payments hit. And a balloon payment is essentially a lump sum payment that is bigger and comes down the line in a loan. ARMs were very popular because their interest rates were lower, which made the monthly payments also lower than they would have been had the homeowner taken out a fixed rate loan. They gave first-time and even marginal buyers a so-called foot in the door to home ownership. And this is where the perfect storm gathered speed and paved the way for the first wave of mortgage fraud, what we term loan origination fraud. In this instance, would-be homeowners felt the pressure to qualify a mortgage so that they wouldn't be completely priced out of the market. or, you know, as we said earlier, they hope to profit from rapidly increasing home prices. This made prospective home buyers ripe for loan origination fraud. As the name implies, loan origination fraud was perpetrated at the point when the prospective homeowner was trying to qualify for a mortgage to buy a house. There were many forms of loan origination fraud, but one of the most common was inflated income or assets. In this fraud, the unscrupulous mortgage broker, anxious to make a commitment, is too happy to overstate the income or assets of the prospective buyer without proof, proper documentation to support the claim. In loan origination fraud, it was typically the legitimate lender that was the victim. Of course, the inevitable happened. By 2008, there were more houses on the market than people willing to buy them. Prices of homes began to slip, and eventually the housing market crashed.
So how did homeowners become victims?
Well, just as housing prices were beginning to fall, the interest rates on many adjustable rate mortgages jumped to the higher rates. They adjusted. Pretty soon, those borrowers found that they were now underwater. This means that the balance on their mortgages was higher than the now lower market price of their homes. So borrowers who had planned to refinance their homes before the higher payments kicked in couldn't because the equity in their homes had disappeared. More and more homeowners began on their mortgages, many losing their homes and any down payments they may have made. Foreclosures across the country increased, beginning with 1.3 million in 2006, 2.2 million in 2007, you can see it's going up, 3.2 million in 2008, and finally 4 million in 2009.
Wow. Could you explain to our listeners how mortgage fraud evolved since the financial crisis began?
Of course. The financial crisis that began in 2008 was directly related to the massive mortgage defaults in the marketplace. Banks lost billions. The stock market plunged. There were massive layoffs, and millions of people lost their jobs. And of course, many of them could no longer afford to pay their mortgages. As homeowners were struggling to make their monthly payments or were fighting foreclosure, mortgage fraudsters saw an opportunity for new forms of fraud. And this time, the fraud at distressed homeowners. Today, there are two basic types of distressed homeowner fraud. The first, loan modification fraud, takes advantage of homeowners who are having trouble making their monthly payments. They think that if only I can get that mortgage loan modified to a lower payment amount, they'll be able to weather their financial situation. Fraud happens when they seek help from one of the many sham loan modification operations that advertise everywhere. The fraud occurs when the homeowner pays an upfront fee and the fraudster disappears without delivering on the promises. The second type of distressed homeowner fraud targets homeowners facing foreclosure on their home because they've fallen behind in their payments. This can happen for any number of reasons: unemployment, underemployment, divorce, death, or high medical expenses. These desperate homeowners can become a victim to rescue scams that promise to bail them out. But that help, of course, never materializes, and the foreclosure process continues without the homeowner's knowledge. Essentially, the threat of losing their homes causes many homeowners to turn to mortgage rescue companies only to realize that down the road they've been scammed.
So what new types of scams are we seeing now, and can you give us a real-life example?
Sure. As I just explained, the mortgage scams we're seeing today center on taking advantage of distressed homeowners. Most of these frauds involve an upfront fee for, quote, unquote, services. Loan modification scams include frauds like Phantom Help. In this scam, the fraudster, promising that he or she has some special in with the lending institution and can make the homeowner's problem go away by negotiating a much better rate, simply runs off once the upfront fee has been paid. Other types of loan modification fraud include bait and switch. Here, the scammer changes the promised new terms to ones that are much less favorable to the owner, and at the time of signing, buries that paper in a pile of documents meant to overwhelm and confuse the homeowner. Then there are reverse mortgages. The reverse mortgage scams homeowners 62 years and older who want to use the equity in their homes to make their mortgage payments. So you can see that there are plenty of ways that the fraudsters are out there. In the second type of distressed homeowner fraud is foreclosure rescue fraud. These frauds include situations like rent-to-own, where scammers take title to a home and agree to lease it back to the homeowner. The scam artist does not make any of the mortgage payments to the lending institution, and the homeowners are ultimately evicted. Other foreclosure rescue schemes include equity stripping, where the scammer strips the equity out of a homeowner's knowledge, and bankruptcy scams, where the so-called foreclosure rescue consultant pockets all of the mortgage payments and then files a bankruptcy case in the homeowner's name. Let me give you an example of how one couple, Bill and Jean in Arizona, became victims of a reverse mortgage scam. In this situation, they had a small mortgage on their home. Both of them were retired, they had no income, and they had just spent a lot of their savings on some unforeseen medical expenses. When they found it difficult to pay their mortgage, they decided to respond to a flyer left in their door that was advertising reverse mortgages. It sounded like exactly what they were looking for. They met with a professional-looking woman who walked them through the requirements. Since they qualified on all fronts, the woman explained that her company would apply for the reverse mortgage in their name. The fee they paid upfront for her services would ensure that the couple qualified for the mortgage. 2 weeks later, the woman couple with great news. Their mortgage had been approved. Bill and Jean did not know that they would have qualified for a reverse mortgage on their own without a paid consultant and without an upfront fee. They were thrilled. For months, they lived in their home, unaware that anything was wrong. Then one day, the police arrived. They told Bill and Jean that they had arrested a mortgage fraud outlet and found the deed to their home among the papers. Bill and Jean had inadvertently signed away the deed to their house. Not only was their equity gone, but their home now belonged to the scammer. This may seem like an extreme example, but unfortunately, it is not.
So how can homeowners recognize these new forms of mortgage fraud, and what can they do if they feel they are a victim of mortgage fraud?
Well, first of all, there are several characteristics that can tip off the homeowner if they're looking for help with a loan modification or foreclosure. First of all, fraudsters will ask for an upfront fee. Remember, no one has to pay a fee for legitimate assistance. In another instance, they'll ask the homeowner to deal exclusively with them. The homeowner should always keep in touch with the legitimate lender. They'll promise that the process will be quick and easy, and honestly, it rarely is. They'll guarantee to stop foreclosure or modify a loan. Unfortunately, there are no guarantees. They charge to help a homeowner qualify for government programs. People should know that most government assistance programs are free. They pressure homeowners to sign documents before they've had a chance to read and understand them and agree with them. And finally, they'll ask that mortgage payments be made directly to them, not to the lender. So what should a homeowner do if they feel they've been scammed? First, they should report the fraud to the appropriate authority, their local police department. Next, they should contact a housing counselor. The U.S. Department of Housing and Urban Development, HUD, provides free counseling for victims of mortgage fraud. They should be aware that mortgage fraud is financial fraud, so they definitely need to follow up with identity theft issues. They need to establish fraud alerts at all three credit reporting agencies and finally obtain copies of their recent credit reports. Finally, they can explore possibilities for restitution. Private lawsuits can be expensive, but they may be necessary where large amounts of money or ownership of the property is involved. Sometimes there are class action lawsuits or cases brought by a district attorney that may offer some relief. Finally, I'd say this. If it looks too good to be true, it probably is. If victims or potential victims know and recognize the red flags of mortgage, we will all make it a lot harder for the scammers to thrive.
Thank you, Cynthia. Thank you for this great informative podcast. This podcast is presented by the National Crime Prevention Council and the Office for Victims of Crime, U.S. Department of Justice. This podcast series is supported by grant number 2011 ZFGXK021. points of view or opinions in this podcast are those of the author and do not necessarily represent the official position or policies of the U.S. Department of Justice and the National Crime Prevention Council. Thank you and goodbye.